Shoes.
Recorded live.
Well, I'd like to welcome you tonight to Yahweh's Truth as we're coming to you live all over the world on TalkShoe. We are in the latter part of October, October 22. It's 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and this is Yahweh's Truth. I'm Dr. James P. Wickstrom, a doctorate of letters. My address is P.O. Box 102, Rhodes, R-H-O-D-E-S, Michigan, 48652, U.S. of A. My email is jamespwickstrom@yahoo.com. You can get into my blog site very easy by going to www.jameswickstrom.com. It'll kick you right into my blog. Tonight I have a story that I want to share with you. Now I want to share the story with you because it's extremely important. So important that it has been hidden from you by the United States government, the English government, the Russian government, and anyone who fought against Germany, Italy, and Japan during World War II. I have muted the telephones for now because I've got to concentrate on the information that I want to get across to you tonight. I'm a teacher of ancient history and secular history. I'm a teacher of Yahweh and His laws. But there are things that have happened within the last 60 years, 65 years, that have been blanked out from you deliberately so you would not fully understand what the history of happenings between Germany and against the Allied powers were. Now remember, it doesn't mean the good guys won the war, but I will say that the victors get to write the history, and it doesn't mean that the history is true. Now prior to World War II, Germany was on the move. They had kicked the Jew bankers out of Germany. They had reestablished a national banking system, and they were using German, what you would call reserve notes or German bonds, as money. The Jews were no longer in the picture. They were no longer the middle money man driving Germany into debt. The Germans also did the same for France and Belgium and Holland when they went there. They kicked the Jew money changers out of control of the money. Now, the Third Reich of Germany. Now, the title of our history lesson tonight, I'll be getting into that right now, so you'll understand, is called Germany, Antarctica, and Operation High Jump. Now, a few of you may follow me, but the majority of people really don't understand the history and the significance of what I'm going to talk about and what took place. And what has happened here is that the Third Reich sent an Antarctic expedition in 1938 and 39 to Antarctica. It was led by Captain Alfred Richter. He passed away in 1963. The Germans stated that the main purpose was to secure an area in Antarctica for a German whaling station as part of a plan to increase Germany's production of fat. Whale oil was then the most important raw material for the production of margarine and soap in Germany, and the country was the second largest purchaser of Norwegian whale oil, importing some 200,000 metric tons annually. And on the 17th of December, 1938, the New Swabia expedition left Hamburg, Germany for Antarctica aboard the ship called the Schwabenland. It was a German freighter capable of carrying and catapulting aircraft. The expedition had 33 members plus the Schwabenland's crew of 24. In January 1939, the ship arrived in an area already claimed in 1938 by Norway as Dronemadland, and they began chartering the region. In the following weeks, 15 flights were made by the ship's two Adronerwal aircraft. One was named the Passet, the other one the Boris. These were two German aircraft. They flew over an area about 600,000 square kilometers. More than 16,000 aerial photographs were taken, and some were published after the war by Reichner. To assert Germany's claim to newly named New Schwabenland, three German flags were placed along the coast of Antarctica, and 13 more were airdropped further inland. Some accounts claim these were aluminum markers topped with swastikas dropped on the ice at intervals of about 30 to 40 kilometers or every 20 to 25 miles. German teams also walked along the coast recording claim reservations on the hills and other significant landmarks. The expedition also established a temporary base. Richard Heinrich Schleiermacher named the ice-free Schleiermacher Oasis, which now hosts the Amatri and the Novoleskaya Russian Research Station. He named it for himself after spotting it from the air soon before the Schwabenland, the ship, returned to Germany in February 1939. Two more German expeditions by the German Reich were scheduled for 1939 to 1940 and from 1940 to 1941. This was told to the public, and they were expected to search for suitable whaling grounds and extend Germany's territorial claims in the Antarctic. The second expedition would also investigate the feasibility of naval bases from which Germany could control the South Atlantic and the Indian Ocean, along with the Drake Passage. Now, it's very interesting for the simple reason. Germany claimed a vast portion of Antarctica called New Schwabia from 1939 to 1945, but no other country ever recognized Germany's claim, which lapsed under the terms of the unconditional surrender to the Allied powers, which was signed on the 8th of May, 1945. Now, after the war had ended in 1945, as I have just stated to you, the war had ended in 1945, the unconditional surrender was signed on May 8, 1945. And then something very interesting took place, something that no one else was told about. It was kept away from the people of the United States. It was kept out of the press. And nobody, and I mean nobody, in the press or in government wanted to talk about it. In 1946 and 47, an operation was put together called Operation High Jump. Operation High Jump officially was titled the United States Navy Antarctic Development Program. It was a United States Navy operation organized by Rear Admiral Richard E. Byrd in Antarctica under the command of Richard Curzon, which was launched on 26th of August, 1945. The war was already over, i.e., in the minds of all the people of the world, but it wasn't over in the minds of the military people of England, the United States, and the Soviet Union. Now, this operation was launched on the 26th of August, 1946, and ended abruptly in late February, 1947, 6 months earlier than planned. This massive Antarctic task force included 4,700 men, 13 ships, and multiple aircraft. There were three different groups of ships, or different fleets, three fleets. The western group of ships reached the Marquesas Island on December 12, 1946, whereupon the Henderson and the Capon set up weathering stations. By the 24th, the Kurtuk had begun launching aircraft on reconnaissance missions. The eastern group of ships reached Peter I Island in late 1946. The central group of ships reached the Bay of Whales on January 1947, where they constructed temporary runways along the glaciers. Now, what is really interesting here, Operation High Jump has become a topic among other history theorists who claim it was a covert U.S. military operation to conquer the alleged secret underground German Nazi facilities in Antarctica and capture the German viral flying discs, or Thule, mercury-powered spaceship prototypes. You heard me right. An astonishing Hitlerist legend recounts that Adolf Hitler did not commit suicide in 1945, but fled to Argentina, and then to an SS base under the ice in New Swabia during the early 1950s. And according to this account, Operation High Jump, the largest expedition mounted to the Antarctic, is claimed to have been sent to wipe out the Nazi presence in Antarctica. So in January and February of 1939, the secret German expedition started out and went into that area and began to build something. Now in January and February 1939, a secret German expedition visited Droning, I told you that. But between 1943 and 1945, this is during the war, the British launched a secret wartime Antarctic operation codenamed Tabaran. Men from the Special Air Services Regiment, the SAS of England, Britain's covert forces for operating behind the lines, appear to be greatly involved in a military operation into Antarctica. And in July and August of 1945, after the German surrender, two U-boats arrived in Argentina. Had they been to Antarctica to land German treasure or officials and supplies? Well, in the southern summer of 1947 and 1946 and 7, the U.S. Navy appeared to invade Antarctica using the large force of which I already told you about. The operation was codenamed High Jump, and it was classified confidential. Now, what you and a lot of other people don't know, some of you may, but the majority don't. In 1958, three nuclear weapons were exploded in the region as part of another classified U.S. operation, codenamed Argus. And given the initial lack of information about these various activities, it is not perhaps surprising that some people would connect them to produce a pattern in which governments would be accused of suppressing information about what really happened, and would use these pieces of information to construct a thought of a large German base existing in Antarctica and of the Allied efforts to destroy it. In 1958, three nuclear weapons were exploded in the region of where the Allies, the British, the Soviet, and the English governments believed that the Germans had set up a tremendous base and were still functioning. Using background knowledge of Antarctica and information concerning these activities has been published since the early 1940s. It is demonstrated that two of the U-boats could not have reached Antarctica because of mechanical breakdowns on the German subs. There's many stories about the Nazis concerning that they had a submarine base at New Schwabenland, part of the Queen Maud Land. But personally, I don't doubt it one bit, but then the story, as we know, and as it goes on, that they established a base on the same spot at the end of the war, which was supposed to be a base for the Hanabu, or the Vril, V-R-I-L, flying discs. There are huge amounts of material concerning the Nazis, development of flying discs, and experimentation with anti-gravity using Tesla technology and technology developed by German scientists. So you see, in 1938, Germany sent that expedition to Antarctica with the direct mission to investigate for sites for a possible base and for making formal claims in the name of the Third Reich. So you see, what we have here, and even then, To prepare them for their mission in 1938, because the U.S. was not involved in World War II, the Germans invited the great polar explorer Richard E. Byrd to lecture them on what to expect. The following year, a month after hostilities had commenced in Europe, the Germans returned to Neuschwabelin to finish what had been started, with many suggesting that a base was being constructed. And then 9 years later, Richard E. Byrd, who by now had become an admiral in the United States Navy, was sent to Antarctica with the largest task force ever assembled for a polar mission. In Admiral Byrd's own words, the mission, codenamed High Jump, was, quote, primarily of a military nature, unquote. Many claim that the task force was sent to eradicate a secret Nazi base in Queen Maud Land, which the Nazis had renamed Neuschwabenland, and which had never been explored as profoundly as the rest of the Antarctic. But, and the big but is, the fact that Admiral Byrd spoke of, quote, flying objects that could fly from pole to pole at incredible speeds. And with well-documented German activity before, during, and in the intermediate aftermath of World War II, one can't help but wonder whether there is some truth of the Germans in Antarctica. And even so, could Operation High Jump and Byrd's quotes have overshadowed the truth about British excursions into Antarctica by way of misinformation, bringing attention to his mission, and by doing so, making sure that history only remembered one mysterious Antarctic mission? A few years later, under the cover of the International Geophysical Year, the United States again sent a naval task force to the Antarctic. The use of military force, including atomic weapons, was covered by the ridiculous story that the United States of America and the USSR, both controlled by Jews now, in a rare moment of nuclear cooperation during the height of the Cold War, were interested in seeing how much of the continent could be quote-unquote recovered for use by warming it with nuclear explosions. Now, accordingly, it would be necessary to explode a few small nuclear devices for above the continent to warm and melt the ice as a proof of concept. Henry Stevens stated, quote, "You already know exactly where in Antarctica they plan to explode these atomic bombs." And the three atomic bombs were thus detonated at an altitude of approximately 300 miles above the target. The first atomic bomb was detonated on August 27, 1958, one on August 30, 1958, and the third on September 6, 1958. Stevens also notes that these bursts may have something to do with the ozone hole over the South Pole that the U.S. government's reluctance to discuss the idea or the events that may have caused it. Additionally, perhaps it's possible that one atomic bomb from each of the world's then nuclear powers, the U.S., the USSR, and the United Kingdom, were used. England, under Churchill, Churchill's grandma was a Jewess. Roosevelt was a Jew. Lenin and bringing in Stalin and Stalin's subordinates were all Jews. This was the unholy Axis power. Now, if these three atomic bombs and bursts were indeed intended to secretly against an actual target, then why did they explode them so high? Well, Henry Stevens hypothesizes that they were to knock out any German equipment in the region by the strong electromagnetic pulse that results from a nuclear detonation. Stevens also notes that these bursts may have something to do with the ozone hole over the South Pole and the U.S. government's reluctance to discuss the idea or the events that caused it. And of course, since this is mostly concerning military operations, all the true facts are sometimes very, very hard to find. Now, I'm going to couple another piece of information in here with you tonight. And what it's going to be something called the Anti-Comintern Pack. The Anti-Comintern Pack. I'm going to throw something at you tonight that, for some of you, it's going to knock you right off your chair. The Anti-Comintern Pack was an agreement concluded first between Germany and Japan on November 25, 1936, and later between Italy, Germany, and Japan on November 6, 1937. The Anti-Comintern Pact, sought by Adolf Hitler, was ostensibly directed against the Comintern, or the Communist International of the world, which is Jewry, but was specifically directed against the Soviet Union. It was one of a series of agreements leading to the formation of the Axis powers. Japan renounced the pact in 1939, but later acceded to the Tripartite Pact of 1940, which pledged Germany, Japan, and Italy to mutual assistance. Now, what does this all mean? It means that Germany, Italy, and Japan all signed an agreement to stop international Jewish communism and Bolshevism. Now, of course, all the movies made in Hollywood is that the dirty Germans were the bad guys, the dirty Italians under Mussolini were the dirty guys, and, of course, the independent empire of Japan was the dirty guys. These three nations all signed the Anti-Comintern Pact and pledged their nations and their people to stop the spread of international Jewish communism to take over the world. Now, this gets very interesting because Hitler sent a special envoy to Roosevelt, and the United States was invited to join the Anti-Comintern Pact. But, of course, at the time, Roosevelt's wife, Eleanor, belonged to almost every communist party in the United States, and so did Willard Eisenhower, the brother of Dwight D. Eisenhower. Willard Eisenhower was a close friend to Eleanor and Franklin Delano. That's how he rose in rank so fast. Now, what took place? Well, here you had the German nation, because they knew what the Jew Bolsheviks did to the Germanic white people in Russia, the great slaughter that took place. They also knew that Stalin was preparing 100 divisions to invade Germany. Hitler struck first, and he hit him right in the crotch, and he started driving them back. Japan went into China from the other side, and they had the Soviet Union, the Jew-created monster nation, in a pincher move. It was then that Roosevelt told Japan, get out of China. Get out of China. We're telling you right now, get out of China. Because, you see, the Roosevelt administration was when the textbooks start getting changed, and all government regulations start coming into being because the Jew Federal Reserve had taken all the money out of circulation in 29, creating a massive depression in the United States. And there was Churchill sitting over in England, the grandson of a Jewess. And then the Jews, using the power of the press and Look magazine and all these others, Life magazine and the newspapers, because they bought them up for about a nickel on a dollar after the Depression, they made out that the German nation, the Italians under Mussolini, and the Japanese were the bad guys. I was about 28 years old. I met an old submariner in World War II. He told me that he was on a submarine, and they were sinking Japanese shipping 6 months before the attack on Pearl Harbor. Franklin Delano Roosevelt ordered the Navy to start sinking shipping around the Japanese island, because Japan has to have all their products imported by sea. Japan was faced with a tremendous decision. And being of the Oriental race, honor is very great to them. So they either got out of China with their tail between their legs, or they would stand and fight. Now, I'm going to say this again to you, and you listen carefully to me. The United States Navy, ordered by Franklin Delano Roosevelt, was sinking Japanese shipping 6 months before the bombing of Pearl Harbor. And the Japanese rose up and they attacked at Hawaii. The U.S. Navy and the U.S. Army and Navy intelligence broke their code. They knew they were coming. They wouldn't warn anyone on the island, and they let them bomb all the battleships and everything else, the destroyers and the cruisers. It was the first time in naval history that they took the submarine netting up from the side of all the ships. They'd never done it before in port. And the great catastrophe took off, and the American people, being as gullible as a bunch of sheep could ever be, believed Franklin Delano Roosevelt, that this is a day in infamy. This will be recorded as a day of infamy. The entire World War II was construed, if you're listening to me carefully now, all of World War II, with the U.S. involvement, going to the aid of England, controlled by the Jew banks, going to the aid of the Soviet Union, controlled by the Jews, who had butchered tens of millions of white Germanic white Russians, knew they had to get the United States involved, and they got them involved indeed, and they used over 10 million of our white Western European sons to go fight a Jew war. Because the anti-Comintern nations, Germany, Italy under Mussolini, and under Japan, was starting to destroy the Soviet Union and communism, Jewish communism. And they were starting to destroy the Jew banking system in Europe. I've told you before, the whole World War II was fought over the banking system. Now you say, well, that's very interesting. Yes, it is very interesting. But Hollywood, remember, just because the Allied powers won doesn't mean they were right. It's just that they got to rewrite history as they wanted the masses to believe. All these things that we were taught in school, even me when I was younger, was a lie. The whole purpose of the war was a lie. All the white gravestones in the world of our soldiers and sons and brothers and uncles fighting our cousins and nephews over in Germany and over in Italy. It was all about a lie. Everything the Jew says is a lie. And our people were hoodwinked. Our people were hoodwinked. Now, I've got information right in front of me right now from M15 out of England. That would be the same as the Secret Service. Do you remember when Adolf Hiss was supposed to be released from Spandau Prison? And the same day that he was supposed to be released by the Russians from Spandau Prison, he was found hanged. He was 90-some years old, and they said he reached up and pulled himself up, you know, like you're doing pull-ups, like when you're young. And they found him hanged in the back in the garden. Elger Hiss was murdered by British SIS agents in Spandau on the eve of his release by the Russians. The Jew-British rulers feared that Hess would unveil the truth once relief. More than half of the Churchill cabinet and hundreds of members of the nobility of England were Thule Society members, Thule, T-H-U-L-E, and they were brothers to members of Hitler's cabinet and government, the military, who had actively supported Hitler's rise to power. Hess was deliberately underrated by the West. He was immensely powerful in Adolf Hitler's hierarchy, being Adolf Hitler's closest friend and second in command of Germany. This is why Hess was chosen to safeguard the Antarctic files, which are mentioned on five occasions in the British military intelligence documents of M15. Apparently, the German expedition to Antarctica from 1938-1939, on direct orders from Hess, surveyed Quiedmont Land and concentrated on an area called Schwabenland. See, we talked about that. I'm reading right from MI5 here, right from British intelligence files. Just like I've got 16 pages of the FBI pages proving Martin Luther King was a full-blown communist, I'm reading to you right out of British intelligence right now. Well, let's read on. The expedition into Schwabenland consisted of some of Germany's top scientists, engineers, and a contingent of specialist military officers. The expedition found warm water ponds and plenitude of tropical seeds, petals from scores of different flowers, pieces of wood floating in some of the ponds, which, if we believe conventional geography, would have been impossible. The German expedition set up a very large base in the region, and subsequently, there were sightings of many German submarines in the South Atlantic, and South African Air Force shellacked on long-range reconnaissance planes operating out of bases near Cape Town, South Africa, took some remarkable photographs of the extent of the German shipping and submarine traffic in the area. In old newspapers in England, in the British Museum of History, Byrd reportedly made comments that mystified his colleagues. Some of the members of the expedition thought Byrd's talk of finding plant seeds and green vegetation in icebergs might have been fanciful. And in February of 1947, Byrd made a statement, and this was the statement, quote, "I'd like to see the land beyond the pole. That area beyond the pole is the center of the great unknown." When Admiral Byrd came back from a military defeat in Antarctica in 1947, many of his ships were sunk. Aircraft was lost. Byrd was censored. Byrd was told to shut his mouth and be silent about what he had seen when flying beyond, at the time, even through the North Pole. Now, you see, what we're talking about here is we're talking about a situation that took place. The silencing of Admiral Byrd takes on significance when we come to intelligence information about Operation High Jump, which was the code name for a U.S.-led offensive in Antarctica. And we shall come to that. Now, once I make you more aware of the mysteries surrounding Byrd's expedition to the Arctic and the Antarctic, this information comes from M15 intelligence files in England. There's masses of information that's been hidden from the people. That's why Byrd was silenced. Byrd was told, if you don't shut up, we're going to put you in a mental hospital. We will put you in an insane asylum if you open your mouth. Eventually, they put him in a hospital, I believe Bethesda, the same one Joe McCarthy went in, and he never came out alive. Byrd was silenced that he was hospitalized and murdered. Now, this is very interesting. They took and they said everything that Byrd talked to the news people about in the southern American continent was wrong. The government went nuts. The U.S. government went nuts. The British government went nuts. They tried to discredit Admiral Byrd in advance in case he ever broke the gag order placed on him by the Navy. His diary speaks of openings on the North and South Pole. And let me tell you about disinformation by intelligence agencies, is that before they take action, there must always be a platform of truth on which to build the selected disinformation. Admiral Byrd led a Navy team into the polar opening, came upon this underground region, free from ice and snow, has mountains covered with forests, lakes, rivers, and strange animals. Why does one find tropical seeds, plants, and trees floating in freshwater icebergs? And why do millions of tropical birds and animals going further north into the wintertime? Now, these disc machines, the Germans almost had them perfected before World War II was over. The sightings are a craft they think is like a terrestrial source. But M15 British intelligence records confirm that the Germans were flying these wingless craft in 1944, and perhaps as early as 1941. Germany was a pioneer in wingless flying, and it's very comprehensive that their scientists definitely built and flew these first discs. The technology for which was stolen by American and some of it handed over to the Soviet Union. See, it's that Jew-to-Jew thing. And incidentally, for those of you who aren't aware of this, the prototype for what was to be the Boeing 747 was found in Germany at the patent office and copied and modified by Boeing aeronautical engineers, as was the Kalashnikov rifle, which was, you were told, was Russian-made. No, it was totally designed by Germans. Admiral Byrd made many trips to Antarctica. He made his most important discoveries pointing to a polar opening. Now, you see, there is so much information that has been hidden from you. In 46 and 47, Byrd once more returned to the head of a huge expedition to explore the regions around Ross Bay. You see, 2 years prior to Byrd's 1947 expedition, and the serious consideration was given to rumors that Adolf Hitler had not died in a Berlin bunker. There were plenty of high-level dissenters among American and British top brass. In the records of Harry Truman's meeting with Joseph Stalin at the Potsdam Conference in 1945, Harry Truman asked Joe Stalin if Hitler had really died in the bunker as Marshal Gregory Zhukov, Russian troops, entered Berlin. The records show that Stalin flatly told Harry Truman, no, he did not die in the bunker. General Zhukov added that after a thorough investigation and said, quote, we found no corpse that could be Adolf Hitler's, unquote. Later, Secretary of State James Brines also queried Stalin on the matter. And after a friendly drink with Stalin, Brines said to him, Secretary of State, Marshal Stalin, what do you think about the death of Adolf Hitler? Stalin replied, he is not dead. He escaped either to Spain or Argentina. Now, of course, since there has been endless angry denials that Hitler escaped by governments, plus rumors that the Russians secretly allowed Hitler to get away through a Russian port, other persistent rumors have it that Hitler escaped to the South Pole, Antarctica, at a huge German base where a retreat had been prepared for him and a large amount of equipment sent there in 1940. And in fact, a story has just come forth in the last month therein that they admitted, the Russians, that the skull they had that they said belonged to Adolf Hitler belonged to a woman. It wasn't Adolf Hitler's. Do you recall this? Now, this gets even more interesting. The rumors that Russia secretly allowed Hitler to get away through the Russian port. Others persist, rumors have it, that Hitler escaped to the South Pole. The respected French magazine Le Monde published stories that Adolf Hitler had a retreat in the South Pole to which he had escaped, and they quoted Admiral Dönitz, the German admiral, in 1943, the war wasn't over, this was his quote, quote, "The German submarine fleet has been now established an earthly paradise, an impregnable fortress for the Führer in whatever part of the world." In 1948, reports were received from Chile to the effect that a Captain Peter Baumgarten had flown Hitler, Eva Braun, several of Hitler's chosen confidants from the Tempelhof Airport in Berlin in a fast Messerschmitt Ardo 234 jet plane to a German-occupied town of Tønder, Denmark. From Tønder, they continued their flight to the German-occupied town of Kristiansand in Norway. Then the party joined a submarine convoy destined for Antarctica, and so the report reads. So you see, here's what we have. We're looking at M15 information from England right now. This was top secret information. They didn't want the masses of the world to know that Adolf Hitler escaped and that Germany's Hitler, the Führer, and a tremendous impregnable fortress was created in Antarctica and that the German nation was still surviving and fighting Jewish communist Bolshevism, which had taken over the governments of England through Churchill the Jew, Roosevelt the Jew, Stalin, and his Jew subordinates. The Anti-Comintern Pack. Now this gets interesting because a top secret admiralty report in M15 comes out from England that stated, some weeks after Hitler's escape, a very large U-boat convoy was sighted and all available British warships and British submarines in the area were pressed into service to mount an attack on this large flotilla of U-boats. The British naval units were totally wiped out except for one destroyer, the captain of which reported that he had never wished to again encounter such a force. Could the U-boat convoy have sailed to the area referred to by Admiral Dönitz in 1943 at the Kiel submarine base where he told a gathering of naval personnel, again, the German Navy knows all the hiding places for the Navy to take the Führer to. Should the need arise, there he can prepare his last measures in complete quiet. And while the anti-German press in the United States, Britain and everywhere, the Jews who control the anti-German press ridicule the belief that Hitler had escaped, the intelligence services of the United States and England did not, and a series of investigations was launched. It was disclosed that British intelligence services totally disregarded official denials of Hitler's survival and concluded the bunker story was American disinformation to quell what otherwise would have been a tremendous outcry by certain surgeons of the population of the United States in particular, such as the German. And now, here's what they said. This comes from M15 British intelligence, quote, "We could not have won the war and let Hitler survive. The general population simply would not accept such a situation. It would have pricked their balloon that we were the winners, and winners simply do not allow the prize to elude them," unquote. So you see, here we have all these things that have taken place. One of the many people was Colonel W.J. Hemlich, the former chief of American intelligence in Berlin, who publicly agreed with Russian General Zhukov and said, quote, "There was no evidence beyond that of heresy to support the suicide of Adolf Hitler," unquote. And later he also said, quote, "On the basis of present evidence, there is no insurance company that would pay a claim on Adolf Hitler," unquote. Now, Hemlich, who was in American intelligence, was in a position to know. He had led the investigation into Adolf Hitler's alleged bunker death and the fruitless search for Hitler's body. Lieutenant General Bedell Smith, to whom Eisenhower entrusted preparations for the World War II invasion of Europe, told reporters on October 12, 1945, quote, "No human being can say conclusively that Adolf Hitler is dead," unquote. And after an exhaustive investigation of the report of Hitler's escape, the United States determined that there was definite proof of this having occurred. The investigation by the military was hindered somewhat by the Russians, who refused to open their classified files on Hitler to U.S. investigators. The files remained tightly closed. Not even an appeal to Gorbachev at the height of Glasnost to allow access to the files was successful. It was then decided to mount a military expedition to the South Pole to investigate the reports of a German continent in the Antarctica and persistent reports of flying machines, flying discs with them, and to try and uncover the presence of Adolf Hitler if he was there. That was the real purpose behind Operation High Jump that I told you with Admiral Byrd. He lost all kinds of ships, almost every one of his aircraft. Sailors were killed. He lost a great battle in Antarctica, and you weren't told a thing about it in high school or college or in your newspapers. This was the real purpose behind Admiral Byrd's 1946-1947 expedition that I allude to earlier to you. Codenamed Operation High Jump, Naval Task Force Number 68, a military expeditionary force, was dispatched to Antarctica under the command of Admiral Byrd in 1947. The 4,000-plus soldiers, the force was made up of contingents of Australia, Canadian, U.S., and Britain. Operational orders were sealed and known only to Admiral Byrd and the three officers commanding the battle groups. The vessels consisted in Byrd's command ship, Mount Olympus, the destroyers, the Henderson and the Brownson, the catapult ship, the Pine Island, with its catapult plane, the icebreaker, the North Wind, the aircraft carrier, the Philippine Seas, and support vessels consisting of the Yankee and the Merrick, the Cassid, and the Capcan. This flotilla set sail from Norfolk, Virginia on December 2, 1946, and you were never, ever told this information in school or college or anywhere. But it's well-established, a well-established fact in United States military intelligence, M15 intelligence, British intelligence, that Germany possessed operational wingless aircraft in 1942, from which the UFOs are said to have evolved. And these craft had several times demonstrated their incredible speed, tremendous ability to affect rapid changes of direction and height. Allied bomber crews called them Foo Fighters. And at that time, the means of arming these amazing flying machines had not yet been perfected. What I'm reading to you comes out of British intelligence. This is what I'm reading to you. So they were unable to destroy the American bombers. General Eisenhower, in reference to these machines, said that if the war had lasted another 6 months, Germany would have been victorious. Germany would have overthrown the world Jewish banking system and the Jews who had a strangle neck on the United States, England, and the Soviet Union. But the armament defect appears to have been remedied by 1947 when Admiral Byrd's three fleets came under attack. It ended with severe losses to the three battle groups. Admiral Byrd, apparently claimed that the flying objects were stationed in Antarctica and were of German origin. But one of his flotilla commanders said they, the flying objects, seemed to come from nowhere at tremendous speed, and there is evidence that electromagnetic energy weapons were used against the British United States attackers. So when Byrd returned from his failed Operation High Jump, Antarctica mission, he broke the pledge not to make any information available. He told a press conference called by the International News Service that Antarctica, quote, should be surrounded by a wall of defense installations since it represented the last line of defense for America, unquote. He repeated what he said privately on another occasion, quote, the United States must initiate defense measures against hostile regions. Byrd said he strongly favored Antarctica as a testing ground for nuclear and atomic bombs. Why would Admiral Byrd suggest visiting destruction upon Antarctica, an area that he had loved and spent the best years of his life exploring? Shortly thereafter, Admiral Byrd was hospitalized and forbidden to hold any more press conferences and ordered to obey his pledge of silence. And there is a great deal more. Having already digressed too much, to continue hardly in depth of all these German bases in Antarctica. But I wanted to bring this to your attention tonight. I wanted to bring this to your attention tonight because you have a right. You have a right to know these things. And you're listening to it on Yahweh's Truth tonight. And you are getting it live on Yahweh's Truth. And this is why I call it Germany, Antarctica, and Operation High Jump. So, did the war really end? Are there still great contingencies of Germans on this earth fighting these Jew communists? Well, I have another little story to tell you. Back in the 1960s, I was a warranty supervisor for Jacobson Manufacturing Company. And I worked with a man next to me. He was a supervisor. He had been in the Air Force, stationed up in Alaska. His name was Dave. Well, one day, Dave and I were down at the coffee machine, and we were talking about military. I was in the Army. He was in the Air Force. I had a secret clearance in the Army. He had a secret clearance in the Air Force. And I said to him, well, where were you? He said, way up in Alaska. I said, were you? Yeah, he said, it was really something. He said, we were way out in the middle of nowhere. We were up in this tower, and we have all these great big dishes and domes and stuff up there, radar and all kinds of stuff. I said, yeah. Well, he said, there were three elevators that went to three areas in these different towers. And he said it depended on what kind of a color code you had on your uniform, on this tag, what elevator you got in. I said, well, what did you do? He said, I was a cryptor. I was an intelligence cryptor. He said, you know, Jim, he said, you see that wall over there, that big wall? And I said, yeah. He said, we had a screen, like a television screen, as big as that wall. He said, can you believe that? I said, okay, keep talking. He said, we could tell when a fighter or a bomber went off in Siberia because of the heat signatures or if a missile was shot off. He said, we also put up on a screen all over the world. We saw where all the submarines were of all the countries. We could identify them by the sound of their propellers. We knew what kind they were, how big the crew was, if they were a sub-killer or a missile launcher. We knew where all of ours were, where the Soviets were, where the French were, even the Jews, English. He said, we knew where all of them were. But he said, you know what was really puzzling? And I said, no. He said, there were five nuclear submarines that we couldn't account for and identify, and they always disappeared under the ice pack. And that is the truth. In the name of Yahweh. So you see, now you got a little course on history tonight. And you see what happens when no one's told the truth? They get to believe a lie. And then Hollyweird gets to make all these movies about these dirty Germans and those dirty Japs. And those dirty Italians under Mussolini. It was the German nation, the Italian nation under Mussolini, and the Japanese that signed the Anti-Comintern Pact. That's Anti-Comintern, C-O-M-I-N-T-E-R-N, Pact, P-A-C-T. It was a three-nation vow to stop Jewish Bolshevism, communism, from taking over the world. And guess who you got in the White House right now? You got the Marxist, communist, Bolsheviks, Obama, sitting in the White House with all the commies out there. Now, isn't that interesting? The whole war was fought over banking and to destroy the anti-Comintern nations that vowed to protect the world from Jewish communism. Remember, I told you, whoever wins the war gets to write the history. You've been lied to all your life. I was lied to all my life. You listening on the speakers were lied to all your life as to the real situation of what happened. We believe in an illusion. We believed a Jew lie. The master criminals, just like the Father said in John 8:44, they're all liars, thieves, and murderers. So you see, this is what all happened. This is what happened. And that's why the Jews are still ragging on the Germans. Why do you think Germany still has an occupied country? How come Italy isn't an occupied country? How come Japan isn't an occupied country with foreign troops? How come the German nation has British, Russian, and United States troops still stationed in Germany? The war's been over for, 60, 70 years? Those Germans don't need that mongrel American military presence over there in Germany, because they don't want the German nation to rise up again. And they also know they haven't totally destroyed the Third Reich, because they know there is a force of Germans up in Antarctica, and I believe in other places, that is still here and going to fight them. And I believe they're going to be in the final battle when all things come down. That's my personal opinion. The Jew is absolutely paranoid, and they'll pee in their pants right now when you start talking about German soldiers and what the Germans really fought for and did. That's why they made up little Anne Frank. The diary, another lie. Anything to get the sympathy of the stupid white people. If you tell the white people today, if they could run outside on a clear night and a cow was jumping over the moon, they'd all run outside and look up and look for the cow jumping over the moon. That's how absolutely brainwashed and brain dead they really are. And here's another thing. I'm 67 years old. I was told all these lies when I was young. So were you. There's those of you listening tonight that are older than me that was told all these lies. You were never told about this anti-Comintern pact that the Germans and the Italians under Mussolini and the Japanese signed to stop the total advancement of Jew communism taking over the world. What do you think Obama's going to go to Copenhagen for pretty soon? He's going to Copenhagen to sign a treaty to get rid of the sovereignty of the United States of America, and that treaty is to put the whole world under Jewish communism. And we sent 10 million of our sons, French, German, Italians, from this country, Danes, Swedes, Finns. They were lied to by the Jew government of Roosevelt to go destroy the Germans and the Italians. Specifically. Later they dropped the bombs on the Japanese. But they directed almost all the war effort against the Germans and the Italians. They let MacArthur in the Pacific have almost nothing. This is why I keep telling you it's so important to understand history. Where, when, why, how. It's so vastly important. And since the time of Roosevelt in the 1930s, when they started to really alter the history in the textbooks, I told you, you go to the public schools and you become public fools. Wow, it takes on a whole different perspective now, doesn't it? U.S. troops in 100 foreign countries. What are we doing in 100 foreign countries? What are you talking about? I'll tell you what they're talking about. They're talking about protecting Jew money. What do you think the troops are doing in Afghanistan? They're protecting the poppy population to make opium that the Taliban almost eradicated the poppy population in Afghanistan away from their people. They're ensuring that these poppies and all of this heroin and all this stuff is going to get into Europe and into the streets of the United States. Our military is being used like whores and they're being lied to. They're not there to win a war. If they were there to win a war, they could win it. They could be unleashed and win that war. It's been going on for 8 years. All of World War II only lasted 4.5 years. With all the bombings and the landings and the invasions and everything like that. Praise Yahweh and keep your powder dry. So you see, this is what's happened. This is the situation that has taken place. Yeah, you want to talk about history? How far back do you want to go? Should we talk about Yahweh? Should we talk about who the true Israelites are? Should we talk about who the covenant belongs to? Should we talk about who was more cunning and subtle and the greatest liar of liars? No, they don't want me back on their national television shows. You know, I made it on... I was on the Phil Donahue show in the 80s, and I was on Larry King, Geraldo Herrera. You know, that's not his real name. I don't know if you know that or not. He's a Mexican Jew. All right? Jerry Rivers is his real name. He's a Mexican Jew. His mother's a Jewess, and his dad's a Mexican. Geraldo Rivera, or whatever they call him. His name is Jerry Rivers. They're trying to keep our race so stupid we don't know enough to rise up, that we're being having yokes put around our neck and we're being immersed in the Jewish communism of miscegenation of blood and the destroying of our race through interracial mongrelization. Yahweh didn't command. Yahweh commanded that we aren't to do these things. That whoever did it, this is the law of Yahweh, that they're to be put to death. I want to thank you for joining me tonight. My gosh, we got a whole bunch of people in the chat room. I know we got a whole bunch of people listening all over the world tonight. No matter where you're from, if you're down in Florida or South Carolina, Canada, England, Germany. Boy, my blog site has really been hammered since I've been up there exposing the Jew communists. I have been, did you know, let me give you a fact of the statistics on my blog site. Last month, my blog site increased in hits 1,300%. 42% of those hits came from foreign nations reading about the Jew. So you see, this isn't just about the United States. This is about freedom of the white race, of the true Israelites. Yahweh's sons and daughters. Exposure is the only way you can get ahead. Yahweh said, with all thy getting, get understanding. This is what it's all about. Jerry Springer's a Jew. They're all a bunch of Jews out there. It's absolutely disgusting. These professors, and these doctorates of history, they don't know if they're coming or going. They don't even know they're captive. They don't even know they live in a Jew communist country called the United States, a democracy. A free United States was called a republic. It was overturned without firing a shot in the 1930s by Franklin Delano Roosevelt and all his communist Jew buddies who gave all of our patents and military secrets and the atomic bomb secrets through the Lend-Lease, flew it over the North Pole and gave it to Stalin and everything. Now, I want you to think about that. Well, I see we're rolling into the second hour right now. And I want to really make it clear to you here tonight that these Jews, these Turco-Mongolian evil alien species are not going to give this up without a battle. Now, I want you to really think of that. This is why you've got to prepare. This is why you've got to be ready. Yahweh said he'd come to help us. Don't get wrong. Don't be wrong about that. In fact, the book of Enoch the patriarch, stated that angelic beings shall descend alongside the angel of the children of light. This is the white Western European men and women. And that these angelic beings would fight alongside Yahweh's sons and daughters and totally destroy the children of darkness. Totally destroy the children of darkness. So you see, this isn't just, you know, you're going to sit there and you think that Yahweh's going to do everything. What are you here for then? If Yahweh's going to do everything, what are you doing here? He sent you here. You're a sojourner here. You have been sent here as a soldier son of Yahweh to fight evil. Not to be absorbed by this Jew anti-Christ communist system. This is what this is all about. This is why even Sergeant Major Roberts and even when Colonel Farrell was on, always telling you to prepare. Get your house in order. My gosh, tent cities are springing up all over. Now they're talking about hyperinflation even getting worse. Gasoline's going right through the roof again. Your standard of living is being decimated. It's going to be interesting to see how many hundreds of thousands of more jobs were lost in the United States. It's not just in the United States. The Jews are destroying from within Germany and all the other white Western European nations. Look at England. England is such a dump with all of those species and mongrels. They've gutted out white England. And there's an old saying, by the way, as England goes, so goes America. So you see, this is where we're at. And this is the problem. This is the problem. A lot of these people out here teaching identity, they get too comfortable. They make too much money. Buying big ranches up in Montana and Wyoming. I remember Colonel Gale said to me, the late Colonel Gale, he said, Jim, we're not only going to rock the boat, we're going to tip the whole damn boat over. And that's why Yahweh said, when this new kingdom and new government comes in, when we break free of from slavery into freedom, all the old will be put away and everything will be new. Well, all the old that we're living in right now is Jewish communism, Jew banking, Jew economics, slavery, massive taxation, regulations. That's all going to leave. We're going to come under all new freedoms and rights and liberty. Oh, it's just unbelievable. And I'm trying to convey this out to you. I'm not here bragging to you. I'm just trying to explain things to you. Things that you've never heard before. So you see, this is what we have to look at. You got so-called identity teachers telling you anyone who says Yahweh is the Antichrist. This is how totally stupid they are. So you see, I want to thank you very much for tuning in tonight. You know, I want you to thank you for joining us tonight for this radio broadcast. Germany, Antarctica, and Operation High Jump. If you'd like to learn more concerning the information discussed this evening, or if you have any questions relating to the content, you can write me, Dr. James P. Wickstrom, a doctorate of letters. I got a doctorate in ancient history, migration of races, and secular. P.O. Box 102, Rhodes, R-H-O-D-E-S, Michigan, 48652. My email is jamespwickstrom@yahoo.com. And we're rolling into the second hour. I want to thank you for being patient tonight and giving me the opportunity of having the time to explain these things to you. And then to make matters worse, they made the black equal to the white people. They took what the whites had created as a republic, the origins, the original founding fathers in the documents, and after the Civil War, they made them all 14th Amendments of what people don't know. White people aren't accorded to the 14th Amendment because, you see, we are natural citizens by birth of the white race. So what they did to lie to the white people, they passed the 14th Amendment, which was never totally ratified by all the states, and they said, okay, we signed a piece of paper, now the blacks are equal to the whites now. See, you're all equal. See, this is what the Jew did. And at the same time, the Jew was an alien too. So when they signed the 14th Amendment, they said, see, now the Jews, you're not only equal to the white race, you're better than them if you want to be. And all the mongrels and all the mutts became equal to the white race. I'm telling you, if it wasn't so absolutely sad, you'd almost have to go over in the corner and cry for a couple of minutes. You see, this is where we're at tonight. Boy, we got a whole bunch in this room, in this talk room and chat room. I want you to get out and tell your friends to get with it and start learning something about the truth of this country. Yahweh is the answer. And the color of our uniform is the color of our skin. We, the white Western European people, the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian, Germanic, peoples of the earth, we are the lost sheep of the house of Jacob who was surnamed Israel. We are the covenant people. We are Yahweh's chosen people. But because our children go into these public schools and they come out public fools, I got people right now listening in their speakers. I know what you're doing. You're saying, can all these things he said be right? My gosh, can they be right? Of course they're right, or I wouldn't be saying them. I mean, I could always go make me a pot of tea. You know, I like tea. I quit drinking coffee about 7 years after, years ago after they tried to poison me in a restaurant. I don't drink coffee anymore. So you see, we've got to be united. We've got to stay together. This is what it's all about. One with Yahweh is the majority, but boy, if there's a whole bunch of them, we're really the majority. I believe we're going to see things that we've never imagined. And I believe some of you, as you have read into history, Germany had the atomic bomb before the Jews had it. Hitler was afraid to set off the atomic bomb because he was afraid it would start a chain reaction on the earth. The Jews didn't care. They're the murderers and destroyers. They're evil. We're going to see things that you've never imagined in the end time. And you know, when you talk about the Germans having the flying discs, mercury-fueled pulse, electromagnetic pulse drive, how about in the book of Psalms where it says that Yahweh has 20,000 chariots of fire? Now, that's not a bad fleet. 20,000 chariots of fire? Man, I'm telling you. So you see, any comment on Dr. William Pierce? Well, Dr. Pierce was an identity, you know that. But he was a white nationalist, I'll sure give him credit for that. He did a lot of educating to a lot of people. Back in 2002, I was invited to speak at the World Area Nations Congress out in Pennsylvania. Dr. Pierce had just passed away. And I praised Dr. Pierce very much for his life work and the truth that he taught to the white race. But he was not identity. He couldn't get that part of the program. He just couldn't get it. But he did a lot of great work. Benjamin Franklin warned us about the Jews. George Washington warned us about the Jews. We're under the curse of Deuteronomy 28. Our race is failing to obey the laws of Yahweh. Our race is failing to do what Yahweh, our Father, commanded us to do. And because we're not doing it as a race, we're under condemnation by Yahweh, and he has allowed strangers to rule over us, to punish us, until we get on our knobby knees and say, Yahweh, we're sorry, confess our sins, and change our life, our way of thinking, our way of doing whatever we're doing. This is what it's all about. The whole battle is about race. You're being held captive by religion and politics. And that's why even the Catholic Church recently put an edict out from the Vatican that they were to remove the name Yahweh out of their hymnals and no longer use it in their church services. The name of Yahweh was no more to be remembered in every Catholic church of the world. And the people didn't have to read the book of Revelations anymore. And they didn't have to read the book of John because it condemned the Jews too much. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine this? I'm telling you, absolutely unbelievable. So, this is what we have. This is what's going on. This is why we always have to either stick together or swing alone. I've opened up the phone calls. Anyone want to give a little Rudy Toot Toot here tonight? 1-724-444-7444. You'll then ask to be put in a ID number, 58022#. Dr. Wesley Swift was one of the greatest teachers in the history of the United States regarding Jacob Israel. So was William P. Gale. So was Bertrand Compre. I will not ever include Pete Peters. Because Pete Peters' grandmother was a Pueblo. And the Pueblos have knew my blood. And the knew my blood were blacks from Northern Africa who sailed on the ships of the Egyptians to this continent years ago, and the Pueblo still has in their folklore and their stories of who they are. That's why they're an extremely dark so-called Indian. I have nothing to do with Pete Peters. I want nothing to do with him. Because by his own mouth, he's a mongrel. Now, I'm just telling you the truth. because I've been sent to the lost sheep of the house of Jacob Israel to tell them the truth. And if that tweaks anybody out, that is not my problem. I'm just trying to tell you like it is. So you see, Pastor Eli James, well, Pastor Eli James comes up a little short. He doesn't believe and think that Yahweh was born in a flesh body. He thinks it was the Son of Yahweh. He's still got a few kinks in his armor. And by the way, he hasn't taught this message for 25 years like he says. He wasn't around 25 years ago. I knew everyone that was around 25 years ago. Most of them are dead. But everyone wants to add a bunch of years on what they said they were teaching and stuff like that. Eli James, he's come a long way in his time. And what he's got to do is he's got to understand and think for himself instead of let other people push him into certain situations where he gets himself in trouble. Yahweh is Yahweh. Yahweh was born in a flesh body from a virgin. His name is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His name ain't Christ. His name isn't Jesus. His name isn't God. And he isn't Yahshua. That's a pronoun. His name is Yahweh. That's a noun. He didn't say, call upon my names, plural. He said, call upon my name, which is singular. Now, some people say that I'm a hard man, that I don't bend. Well, I'll tell you what, if you think I'm hard and I don't bend, what do you think Yahweh is? Remember when Yahweh said to Moses, when the people were complaining all the time, step aside, Moses, I'm going to kill them all. There were about 2.5 million of Jacob Israel out there in the wilderness. He said, I'm tired of hearing them complain about everything. Now think about it. Yahweh was Yahweh in the flesh. He made the earth and everything therein. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You think his name isn't the same yesterday, today, and forever? Hello out there. Goodness gracious. The phone line's open, 724-444-7444. They'll ask for a PIN number, 58022, pound is what you do then. So you see, we've had a good one tonight. We've been rolling now for about an hour and a half here. You got any questions, throw them up on the chat room. All right. Robert Matthews was a soldier of Yahweh. David Lane was a soldier of Yahweh. And they all listened to my racial identity tapes. Even Mrs. Weaver, who was shot upon that hill, listen to my racial identity tapes. Yes. They played my racial identity tapes in the trial of the Brudenschwagen up in the state of Washington. The Brudenschwagen was Robert Matthews and all the rest of them who declared war on the Jews of this country. During their trials, they played my cassette tapes from one end to the other. The children of light against the children of darkness. They played my cassette tapes about the Jews, that they were the communists and the spawn of Satan, right in the federal courtroom, to everyone in the courtroom and to the jury. That's right. I'm not saying it for vanity. I'm telling you because it happened. So you see, this is what it's all about. I'm going to have to be getting off here pretty quick here. I was going to go for 2 hours tonight, but I'm going to tell you what. It's a good one that we're having tonight. I said we would probably go 2 hours, and I just can't roll into that because I do have to break loose out of here. We've had a great one tonight. There's been a tremendous discussion in the chat room tonight. And to everyone who's been listening, I want to say Yahweh bless each and every one of you. And I'll be back with you next Wednesday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, U.S. of A. Praise Yahweh and keep your powder dry.